If you need a new roof or a repair, Easton Roofing will take care of you. Estimates are always free and suggestions are built on integrity. Visit EastonRoofing.com for more information. Get back to business faster with Easton Roofing. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's Friday, March 22nd, 2024. Stephen St. John and Nate Buchanan with Jake Gutierrez. Thank you very much for joining us. We appreciate you. We'll have Stan Weber in studio. We'll talk to Gabe Yarman and Jay Heidrick and also Greg Gurley, Mike McFarland. Who am I missing? I nailed it, didn't I?
Home run without any help from me.
I did it without any help from you and without any help from the refs. Did it on my own. So.
Hey-o.
How about that?
Hey-o.
March Madness, baby. That was quite the first day.
Whew.
Wasn't it? It sure was. By the way, if anyone had a chance to check out the Border Patrol's special picks that we released on social media, I apologize for Jake and Nate leading you astray, hopefully.
I haven't completely led you astray. I'm hoping Michigan State can still knock off North Carolina.
Yeah, well,
That was North Carolina getting knocked out early was my call. So,
But you said Mississippi State, so
yeah, I should have said
encouraging people to.
I should have said the winner of Mississippi State, Michigan State. But
yeah,
it's getting
that's a coulda, shoulda, woulda right there.
Yeah. Still on the line, though.
Not a good look for the show there, is what I'll say. But yours wasn't the worst. I could tell you that. And mine's still alive, so mine wasn't the worst. Who's that leave? Jake?
Good morning,
Nate. I tried to be aggressive, all right? I tried to play with a hard
pick. No, we tried to tell you.
Oh, Connecticut. Oh, you know, that's not, you know, Everybody knows Connecticut.
Right. I like to be right.
I was trying to be bold.
Don't start this now. Don't start this.
Bold and daring.
You thought they were going to win, and you thought they were going to beat Kansas, too. That's what got your fan card revoked.
Right. Did that performance by Kansas last night seem real convincing for the next round?
Yeah, did that.
They still are a 4-point favorite right now in Vegas.
How did that performance by McNeese?
Why bring up old stuff?
I was asking you, was that a near miss there?
It was close. They had him right where they were.
That have you on the edge of your seat, thinking maybe you might be right?
I thought they were going to come back any minute.
Yeah. You know, this is the funny thing. A lot of people are. Nobody's really talking about Gonzaga, and they're just dismissing them.
I picked them in my Elite Eight.
Did you?
The winner of Gonzaga, McNeese, is going to make a run.
Yeah, they didn't get a fly, buddy. McNeese lost 86-65, and they were down 48-25 at halftime. The game was over. And so that was Nate's pick on our post.
Win some, lose some.
And he had McNeese beating Kansas.
I actually have Gonzaga in my Final Four.
Do you really?
Yes, I do. My Final Four is Illinois, Houston, New Mexico, and Gonzaga.
You got them beating Kansas?
I got them beating KU. Then I have them upsetting Purdue. And then I have them. I almost picked Creighton to go to the Final Four, but I couldn't out of spite for Garrett Dieter. So that's essentially why I put Gonzaga into the Final Four.
I wanted to pick Creighton, and I wanted to pick Iowa State. I couldn't do it. But I'm rooting for them. Gonzaga, you know what they are in the, I guess, KenPom rankings don't matter anymore, the ratings. But they're the number 12 team, according to KenPom. And they looked like it yesterday. A lot of people were picking them to get upset. I don't get it, but, right. But they destroyed McNeese. That wasn't close. So we'll see. What do you think? Why do you think Kansas is favored? It's my curiosity.
I have no idea. I have no idea.
Usually you have some explanation behind what Vegas is thinking. What's going on there?
Name only. I have no idea. When I saw that line come out last night, I was beside myself.
I mean, who looked like the better team?
Oh, no question it was Gonzaga.
So
it was shocking.
Kansas survives Samford 93-89.
Which, you know, at one point I thought, oh, I can get to go to bed a little early tonight.
Kansas was up by 22 points.
Oof.
And Samford fought their way all the way back. So credit them for making it a compelling game. And we were headed towards a fantastic finish. And so, you know, watching the NCAA tournament and trying to remove myself from what teams I root for and what teams I root against, what I like to see is I like to see great finishes. I like to see dramatic finishes. I like to see, well, I love to see games like Kentucky and Oakland. That was a spectacular final few minutes. Oakland hit so many big shots, and there were several, at least in the final 7 or 8 minutes, at least three times that I counted, where Oakland would hit a three, and they'd, okay, now they get a stop, and this thing could, and then Kentucky would come down, and they would hit a three. They were trading threes. They were trading shots. It was exciting. It was compelling. Oakland had a one-point lead with the clock ticking down, and Kentucky was playing good defense in the possession. Great pass by the point guard to the corner, and Oakland hits a scintillating three, and that essentially put the game away. That was wild with excitement. And look, Kentucky is, I mean, I mean, Kansas and Kentucky, that's a good comparison, although Kansas has had more success. I don't know, however you want to measure. They're blue bloods. They're teams that if you're not in the fan base, everyone roots for them to lose in the tournament.
Sure.
Right? Kind of like Duke.
Yep. North Carolina.
They're all in the same boat, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
The only reason you're rooting for them is if you're a fan or if you bet on them.
Correct.
But especially in the first round.
Yeah.
You know, the college basketball nation was rooting for Oakland. They were rooting for Samford. That's what we want. That's what March Madness is all about. Kansas, you heard Jake's intro. Everyone's talking about the block. Looked like a clean block. When Kansas had a breakout from the press and looked like they were going to have an easy bucket or at least get to the free. Well, they did get to the free throw line. Draw a foul. I mean, it clearly, especially when you look at it in slow motion, it clearly looked like a clean block. And it was called a foul. And so just from a college basketball fan's perspective, we were robbed of what could have been a fantastic finish. So imagine if Samford got the ball back with, you know, only down a point. They got the ball back down three. Kansas got to stop. But imagine if they would get, you know, that play deserved. Samford deserved to get the ball back down a point with a chance to win it. Didn't happen, and so that's what everyone and anyone's going to talk about all day long, all night long. That's all Twitter was. That's all social media was. But that game was a 22-point game. And look, even if they don't call it a foul, there's no guarantee Kansas loses the game.
Absolutely.
Okay? But I do think that the talking point of the missed call or the bad call, right? Of the block shot that turned into a foul. I think that's doing Kansas a favor and covering up the fact that they blew a 22-point lead to Samford. Because that's all anyone was talking about last night on social media was the foul. Was it a block or was it a foul? And I think any reasonable person looking at it now, especially with the benefit, and I'll say this too, with the benefit of slow motion.
100%.
Right?
In real time, it looked, oh, man, he got fouled. And then you watch it, it's like, well, no, he didn't.
That happens a lot in sports.
Yeah.
You know, officials don't always have the benefit of being able to review everything, although.
All night long.
Right.
They did have the benefit.
It seems like.
All night long.
Let's review everything except the biggest play of the game, whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I don't what you know. Nate, Jake, as Kansas fans, what do you take away from that game? They won a game they were supposed to win. Heavy favorites against the Samford Bulldogs. They had a 22-point lead, and as Jake said, it looked like it was going to be a night where you could go to sleep early and not have to worry about the finish. But Samford came all the way back and almost pulled off the miraculous upset, and it was marred by a call by the officials that I don't think anyone agrees with. But Kansas still got the win.
Yeah. Well, you know, the conversation that Jesse and I had yesterday, in which Jesse assured me, you know, Kansas is going to cruise in this game, and I obviously disagreed with him. This is a highly flawed Kansas team. And what do we say? Like, if they want to let Samford in the game, go ahead and don't guard the three. Samford went 10 for 20 in the second half from three. And, look, you give Samford credit. Those kids can shoot. We all know they can shoot. They never stopped the press the whole game. They never gave Kansas a chance to catch their breath. They just kept coming and kept coming and kept coming. So they deserve credit. It's not to take any credit away from them, but we're talking about Kansas, and you're talking about the fact that they blew a 22-point lead. And it was, to me, like, while that lead was evaporating, it was all the things that I told you and Jesse yesterday. Why I'm not optimistic about this Kansas team. Johnny Furphy said after the game, it just felt like the last few minutes lasted forever. He just kept looking at the clock, hoping the game would be over. I mean, that's not the kind of swagger you have, or that you usually see from a Kansas team. You know, just hoping to get across the finish line. And especially without McCuller healthy, that's what this team has been. So they got hot for a while. Jesse said that could happen. You know, but at the end of the day, you look at it, Samford, you know, they shoot 42% from three. They hit 16 threes. KU shoots 33% from three. They shoot six. Or they make six. So they shoot a worse percentage, and they make far less threes. And that's
what picture is that you have up on the streaming? What the hell is that?
That's Nate throwing a soccer ball.
What is that? What the hell is that?
That's a good-looking shot of Nate. Nate throwing up a soccer ball.
Jesus.
I have limited options.
I need to look at the stream.
I don't know. It was already in there. I didn't pick it out. I have limited.
It looks like you picked it out.
No, it was in the system.
That's unbelievably distracting.
Marco put it in there.
By the way,
let me look around.
Nathan,
I don't see Marco here. Would you like a picture of Nate? That's more flattering.
Sure.
You really like that, don't you?
I think it's a fine picture.
Right.
If it's distracting you, I'll pull it right down.
Go ahead, Nate. I just think about him talking right now, throwing a soccer ball up in the air with a weird look on his face.
By the way, Nathan's tweeting in at us saying that KU's a 4-point underdog in this game. So I don't know, Jake, if that's true or not, but that's what somebody...
Well, if Jake swung and missed on that one, this is going to be...
I'm looking at an email from Jimmy Shapiro saying Kansas -4. Maybe, I mean, I'll check DraftKings right now. But this, keep going, Nate. We'll see.
Anyways, we'll see. It's everything that came up yesterday. I mean, you know, Jesse said, well, you know, maybe Kansas will get hot from three. Well, maybe they will. But, you know, this. What
I got Gonzaga favored by four.
That email was wrong.
I feel better now. I'm like, what the hell? What's the point of that?
I was shocked.
How in the hell are they favored? Yeah.
That makes a lot more sense.
Jay Kateras, Gambling Insider.
Well, yeah, I'm going to forward you both the email. So
no. I think you need to forward it back to Jimmy Shapiro. I'm going to go ahead and guess the line didn't move 8 points overnight.
No.
So.
Return to sender.
Yes, that is far more reasonable. Yeah. Gonzaga
that
should
makes,
be a 4-point favorite.
Because
you know what I was going to do? I was going to put a healthy wager during the commercial break. I was going to break early. I couldn't get to my phone fast enough. I'm like, what? I can get 4 points and Gonzaga?
Well, thanks for that. Whoever sent that.
Nathan.
Thanks, Nathan. Thanks for keeping us honest here on the board.
Kansas is getting 4 points. Go ahead, Nate.
That's all right. And I think that I've just basically explained all the reasons they should be an underdog against Gonzaga. So Kansas got a win, completely controversy-free. I think we can all agree on that, you know. And bottom line is, you know, second round, let's go.
Did you think it was a foul?
I mean, obviously the ref called it a foul.
Do you think it was a foul?
Obviously not. I mean, when I saw it live, yeah.
There
you go. I didn't even think it was controversial when I saw it live. And then they showed the replay, and you're like, oh, my God, that was – not only was that a block, that was an incredible block. That, like, he didn't even – like, they say hand's part of the ball. He didn't even get hand. He got all ball.
That defensive play deserved to be rewarded.
Oh, man.
You know?
Yeah. It honestly is one of those plays because, like, in the NBA, that could have been reviewed, right? Like, you can review foul – you can challenge foul calls. And I thought to myself, that's one that deserves to be challenged, you know. Usually I don't like the idea of challenging judgment calls because you can call foul on every play probably if you want to. But
that's a gigantic call, a gigantic play.
Like, so say they did that. Say they had the ability. What would have happened then? They just say no foul, and who gets the ball? It goes to the possession arrow?
I'm trying to remember what happened to the ball. Did he block it out of bounds or off the backboard? I can't remember what happened to the ball after he blocked it.
I mean, because I was thinking about that last night. They did review it. Like,
maybe it's a jump ball.
Yeah, I mean, okay.
If he blocks it out of bounds, then I guess it's KU ball.
What do they do in the NFL? If there's an obvious recovery when they look at a fumble, remember? Like in the NFL, would they do that? If there's an obvious.
Yeah, I don't know.
They go back to the spot.
But, look, bad calls happen.
Yeah.
It is part of the deal. Obviously, more often to KU's opponents, because it's hard to call fouls when you're in Bill Self's back pocket, you know?
Wow. I see what he does there? He tries to take the power away from people making that accusation.
Cut
by
the legs off. Cut them off.
That makes it even more valid. Because
he blocked it off the backboard. I'm watching it right now, and the ball goes back. I don't see what happened.
Right.
I don't know if somebody grabbed it or if it bounced out of bounds.
So, I mean, that's another thing to think about. Yeah. How do you?
Yeah.
Whatever. Those are the weird things that go through my mind.
Yeah. But I agree with you, Stephen, that the talk about the call is overshadowing, you know, the bigger issue for
the
Kansas.
Epic collapse.
Which is, yeah.
The Nevada-like collapse.
How they got there.
Yeah.
Right?
We saw that yesterday. Nevada, Dayton finished the job on Nevada. I mean, they had a, you know, 22 run Dayton did to come back and win the game. So.
Right, but this would have been even more shocking because that was a 10 seed losing to a 7.
Absolutely.
Did you think they were going to lose?
I was trying to be as positive as possible.
Did it work?
I guess. I don't know. I mean, yeah, there are times that you had that feeling that this is going the wrong way. And like Nate said, what Furphy described is what you were clearly watching. Guys scared and wanting the game just to end.
Well, it'd be interesting to see what the carryover is to – if there is any to the Gonzaga game. Just, you know, the relief that they got to win, confidence that they got to win, or, you know. Or is that going to carry
watching
over?
Watching the replay, the ball bounces back to a Samford player.
There you go.
He grabs it.
Right.
So, you know, if they review it, I think you got to say Samford ball.
Yes. Like in the NFL where there's an obvious recovery of a fumble, somebody, you know.
Yeah, there was no Jayhawk anywhere near the play.
Yeah. Jake, it seems like you don't like that.
Nah, I mean, it. Not that I. It's irrelevant, I guess. I mean,
oh, it's relevant. It's a great question.
Yeah, I mean,
I mean, they, you know, they review everything else, but they can't review that. I mean, you know.
You think they might look into changing that moving forward next
year? I
don't
know.
I mean, I get tired. I mean, NBA, I mean, I don't know what's worse.
There's too many reviews in basketball as
period.
It is.
Yeah.
If you're going to review a play, that seems like the biggest one of the game.
Yeah, if we're going to review things that actually matter.
But even when you have reviews, there's still going to be controversies in life. You know, I mean, there's still going to be calls that people miss. There's going to be, you know, controversies over whether or not you review plays, which plays get reviewed. But, hey, man, sometimes you get a bad call, you know. Hang with them.
Well, the game of the tournament was so far clearly Oakland beating Kentucky, and that was great. We saw now so far the star of the tournament, Jack Golkey, who was a zero-star recruit with no Division I offers coming out of high school. He played at Division II Hillsdale College for five seasons at Division II Hillsdale College. And he worked, he drove Uber and did DoorDash on the side to get through school. He entered the transfer portal before this season and received one D1 offer, one, Oakland. He took the offer, and in his first season at the D1 level, helped Oakland to a Horizon League championship and an NCAA tournament berth, and then last night hit 10 three-pointers en route to the huge upset of Oakland over Kentucky. He fell one short of the record for most threes made in a tournament game, and he also hit a couple of clutch free throws down the stretch. What an unbelievable story. That sounds like a movie. And he was on fire. Kentucky could do nothing with him.
Golkey comes off a screen, puts up a three. It's good! Townsend comes to get it with 10 on the shot clock. Here's Golkey again.
What?
His ninth three! Shot clock resets to 20. Golkey again. Yes! Fifth player to make 10 or more threes in an NCAA tournament game. The first since Carson Edwards of Purdue 5 years ago.
That was incredible. And congratulations to Oakland coach Greg Campy, who has been a guest on this show, and who is one of the most colorful coaches in college basketball. When UMKC was in the same conference as Oakland, I had a chance to interview him a couple of times in person. We had him on the show before when Oakland was in the NCAA tournament. He has been there forever, and that was the first time Oakland is able to advance to the second round of the NCAA tournament. And he is, like I said, he's one of the great characters of the game in college basketball. He's a hell of a coach, and he has been at Oakland. I mean, he's been in coaching 40 years. He's 699 victories. He has been the head coach at Oakland since 1984.
Since Reagan's second term.
1984. And they finally break through and get to the second round of the NCAA tournament for the first time. That was awesome. And I really enjoyed interviewing him in my times. I've had a chance to talk to him, so very happy for him. Even though he got super pissed when his team started to celebrate with the fans before the game was over, when they were going to go shoot free throws, and they showed a close up, and he goes, game's not effing over yet. He's just screaming at him. I loved it, but he was awesome. And so congratulations to Oakland for beating Kentucky. We'll take a break. Stan Weber's in studio next. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Well, I thought they, you know, that's my first experience with Buckyball, and I'd as soon not play against it again for a while. But, you know, it's a hard game for us with very little depth, and you got to play guys the entire game. And we knew it was going to be like that. And there's just never a break in the action where you can catch your breath. But the first half, we should have been up more than 10. The way I thought we played better than to be up more than 10. The second half, when we got out ahead, then there's no question they were the dominant team after that. I think we played kind of not to lose, and then they played in attack mode. I thought they were great. You know, our ball screen defense was obviously not any good, but, you know, they had a guy go 4-4 from three. It's 6-26 for the year, you know. So and they picked on us on that with Hunt guarding the five-man. But contrary to what the gentleman asked earlier, you know, second half we took care of the ball. We only had six turnovers. We had 12 the first half. And we actually did some good things, but what we couldn't do, we couldn't guard the arc. And to get outscored 30 points beyond the arc and still win a game is pretty remarkable. We certainly can't let that happen, you know, moving forward.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol and Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stan Weber joins us. I just showed Stan. It was I was at Chicken and Pickle yesterday with our buddies Gary Dieter and Anthony Sherman. They were kind enough to, well, Gary was kind enough to invite me out to Chicken and Pickle, and then Sherman said the only reason he showed up was because I went there.
Yeah,
because I
right.
went. So that's right.
Sure.
Yeah, we bond. And so we enjoyed watching the Creighton game and some other games out of Chicken and Pickle. Had some good food and enjoyed the festivities out there for the NCAA tournament. But I was out there when this, did you guys see this tweet from Bill Self that he posted just after 12 o'clock? I just showed it to Stan, and he read it.
Yeah.
It's like a 500-word essay about Kevin McCullough. That was, I don't know, what were you using? That was kind of bizarre, right? The Bill Self felt compelled to tweet out about, to defend Kevin McCullough in such long form that on a game day of the NCAA tournament, Nate?
Yeah, I think it. But I think it was warranted based on the reaction that we've been talking about for a couple days by a lot of KU fans, and specifically KU fans that seem to have voices. You know what I mean? Like guys that want to be part of the media, whatever you want to call it. You know, have blogs, have websites, and things like that. And a lot of people were putting words into Bill Self's mouth after the way he initially talked about the injury and made the announcement that McCullough wasn't going to play. A lot of those guys were putting a lot of words in Bill Self's mouth, and I feel like he felt like it was necessary to try to clear things up, because I don't think he appreciated that. So, you know, I remember when I told you some of the ugliness I was seeing on social media about it, and you hadn't really seen it yet. And then when you saw it, it was pretty eye-opening, wasn't it?
Yeah, you're in the middle of all of it.
I don't think that's true.
I think you were. Did your Carter vote?
I intentionally stayed out of that. Mm-hmm. I didn't tweet about it or say anything. I mean, I said on our show about it, but I didn't do anything on social media about it, because why wade into those waters? But yeah, I mean, that was quite a statement from Bill Self, yes. And I don't remember the last time he came out on Twitter and did something like that.
Jake, if you, I sent you a clip of Bill Self when he was asked about the tweet. Stan, you read it. What did you think? I mean, it's just, you don't expect the head coach to do that the day of an NCAA tournament game and such. Like, I mean, that was quite a tweet.
You know, I don't ride the social media train, so I'm not sure how it all goes down. So I'm not very informed about that. But, you know, when Bill Self speaks, Bill Self stands on the sidelines. He intimidates everybody that doesn't wear a Kansas uniform. So, you know, his voice is loud, and most people listen to it. And so maybe he needed, you know, I don't know.
Okay, so he was asked why he did that. Let's hear it from, do you have it, Jake? Let's hear it from Bill Self. He was asked about putting out that tweet yesterday.
I had players come to me and tell me he was getting roasted on social media. And I said, why was he getting roasted? So I looked at my interview, and the thing that I was told is he's getting roasted because people are looking at your body language your body language during an interview. And, you know, it's a 45-second snippet in a 5.5-minute deal. And am I frustrated that we don't have our full complement guys? Hell yes, I am. But he hadn't done anything wrong. Shit, he's tried his ass off. And for anybody to think anything other than that is it's irresponsible thinking, just to be honest with you. So these kids, their world is social media in many ways. And so when I was told that, heck, we didn't play until 8 o'clock tonight, and you know, I'm up at 6 or whatever, so I had time to write a tweet, so I just wanted to do that. And you guys know I tweet a lot. I think I tweeted in 2023 once. But I thought it was the right thing to do, just because anything other than him trying his butt off to be out there is totally wrong, and that should be evident by what he's gone through up until this point. But unfortunately, the knee just didn't cooperate the last couple of weeks.
Nate, reaction?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think we've talked in other circumstances when people in these positions that are kind of somewhere between, you know, in the media, but also in the fan base, speak in matter-of-fact language as if they know something. As if they, you know, as if it's a fact about things they don't know. And I'm not even saying they're necessarily wrong. I don't know what Kevin McCullough is going through. I don't know what the medical staff conversation was with them. But the people that are going on social media say, look at what Bill Self is saying right here, and look what he's not saying, and that's obvious that this is the case, and this kid quit, and things like that, I think is irresponsible. And I don't think should be done. You know, I know the world is different now. These guys are not unpaid athletes. They're paid. So, you know, they're subject to criticism like professional athletes are. But at the same time, I just don't think that that's – I mean, I've told you from the start when I started seeing those kind of comments being made, I don't think that's right. And – especially not to do it in a way where you're just basically flat out saying something and you're holding yourself up as a person that has scoops or as a person that, you know, that has information. People follow that. They believe it. And so I understand why Bill Self came out and said what he said yesterday.
Do you think I'll ask all you guys this. Do you think part of the frustration from the fan base came from the fact that Bill Self presented the idea that Kansas was going to be healthy, you know, before the selection committee gave them the 4 seed and presented the idea that McCullough would be healthy? And so now some people, I mean, you could put two and two together and think, well, maybe he knew he wasn't going to be healthy and he was just saying that so Kansas would get the best seed possible. But if you're a Kansas fan and you hear him talking about, yeah, we're going to be as healthy as we have been all year long and insinuate that he'll be back and then he's not back, do you think that's part of it?
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think that's fair. I remember telling you, you asked me about KU's seed, you know, as a 4 seed, and I said, I think that's too high. I don't think they've, if you look at what they are right now as a team, they're not a 4 seed. And I, you know, look, I think this is fair to say. I'm sure a lot of people who are not KU fans would say this, and I think it's fair. If it's not Bill Self, if it's another coach that maybe doesn't have as much clout as Bill Self, and he's telling everybody that he's going to get his two best players back, I don't know that the selection committee gives it the same weight. Like, it just seemed like they just took his word for it, you know? And Look, I would say this. Before my recollection, anyways, without having quotes right in front of me, is that I thought it was more likely that McCullough was going to be back and that Dickinson was going to be the question mark. You know, I mean, that's kind of the way it sounded from listening to self-talk the week before. You know, it's like, well, Dickinson hadn't even practiced yet. You know, we're not sure if he's going to be able to go. And then all of a sudden, he's the one that plays, and McCullough's out for the entire tournament. So it did. Something's changed, and I'm sure that I'm sure that led to fans jumping to conclusions or, you know, whatever, you know, having the reaction that they had. But I still don't think that makes it right.
Stan.
Well, on Nate's comments, I'll just say that the reality of what really goes on inside big-time sports athletic teams isn't necessarily what the public knows.
Right.
And people who are trying to find information and entertain the fans and give them good information are coming from a good spot. You know, they want to try to help the fans and just be accurate, but like you said, body language and things like that. Do they really know what Bill Self thinks? And even when Bill Self has to tweet or talk, does he even – can he expose what the real truth is behind the scenes? Because sometimes you have to – usually because you're protecting the players, okay? Usually when a coach speaks and he says something and it doesn't end up being – what's going on behind the scenes, it's to protect others, not to protect themselves. So it's a sticky thing. You know, you can't – what really goes on behind the scenes is so different than what the public sees in these sports. And I've been around – for instance, go back – I've done K-State games 37 years, and one of my real good buddies who could keep a secret type of deal asked me, you know, a question here and a question there, and I started telling him – well, I guess I can trust you. I basically don't need to tell anybody this, but, you know, here's just a little out of 10 things. Here's a little one thing, you know. And I told him another little one thing, maybe later. And he just goes, I'd rather not know these things. And I said, you're right. You know, it's easier for me to root. I root for the cloth. You know, when the Chiefs run out in the field, I don't worry about every behind-the-scenes activity. Like, what is this guy? Where'd he come from? Who'd he date? You know. Taylor Swift obviously is a different story with Travis Kelce. But you see what I'm saying is I've been around this for 45 years, and there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes that, you know, I never get to talk about. And it's not necessarily bad. It's A, and the world's talking about B, C, and sometimes Z, you know, not even close. And you just sit there and go, well, you got to roll with it. In my position, if I know about it, I just roll with it and go on. And I love the fans. Their passion is what makes it all worthwhile, right? If they weren't reading every social media post, you guys wouldn't be getting paid to talk about sports. So we can't have it both ways. I love the passion. I love the follow of wherever you can get information and the overreaction and the love and fun and meanness and all that stuff. You know, it could get frustrating. At times to go, well, that's not the way the story is at all, but we'll just let it go, you know. I'm sure it's frustrating for coaches, administrators, players, and everyone else, but that's just the reality of when the Chiefs run out in the field, you do not know what those guys went through during that last 7 days, okay? Emotionally, physically, medicine they take, whatever. You know, there's a lot going on, and, you know, it's so much fun when they run out there and go start playing the basketball game or the football game. And that's what I love, and that's what I always remember, that, you know, if my wife says something to me, well, I thought you're kind of shaking your head on that report. And I go, it doesn't matter. I'm glad they're passionate. I'm glad everyone's overreacting because that's why we get to talk about sports all the time. If it didn't matter, no one would be listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB.
You know, couple of good examples of that. Like, we don't know what we don't know, right? Even though people that cover the team on a daily basis. Brady Cook, not this past year, the year before, got hurt in the K-State game. People outside the program really didn't know that. And it was hurt. He damaged his shoulder to the point where he had to have surgery right after the season. Nobody knew. Missouri fans, and look, I was one of them that was unhappy at times.
You don't know what he went through or what he did every week.
Exactly
right. Or how bad it was. Just you could say hurt shoulder, And that's still a giant degree.
Right.
Okay, keep going. I'm sorry.
No, but he tore part of the labrum against K-State, and he played for a quarterback. You could speak to that. He played the whole year like that. Okay, so maybe that would explain some of the inaccuracies or some of the bad throws he had or whatever. And then it puts into context, you think, wow, what a tough kid. What an unbelievable competitor. And then you see what the real Brady Cook looked like last year. Another example, Jalen Watson, corner for the Chiefs. We talked to him a bunch of times in the locker room. How many beat reporters do the Chiefs have? Everyone's covering the Chiefs. We find out after the season, and he didn't quite have the same year that the year that we thought. And I remember in training camp, he had a couple guys leapfrog over him. And then into the season, he just didn't seem like he was playing right. And we found out early in the season he tore his labrum. Early in the season, they gave him a chance to have surgery, and he said, no, I want to play through it. It's going to be a lot of pain. I want to play through it. And especially as physical as the corners have to play for Steve Spagnuolo, I want to play through it, and I want to win a ring. He played through it, and then right after the season, he says, I got to get my labrum repaired. People didn't realize this. I went through all this pain, blah, blah, blah. But that's, and we don't know. We had no idea, right? And there were people
and the other 10 guys in the huddle are not 100% healthy either.
Right.
I mean, it just goes deeper and deeper. And now we are at least respecting mental health, right?
Yeah.
The reckoning has started how long ago? 2 years ago, 4 years ago? The mental side of it, too, of what happened to this guy on Tuesday. And you may say, well, it was just a great uncle that had a sickness or was in an event that affected him. And you go, well, that great uncle is his favorite person in the whole world. But he's supposed to play through this week like it's no big deal. You see what I'm saying?
There's so
many factors that are going on that I think that's just the reality. And that doesn't mean that everyone can't try to have an opinion or keep reporting on sports. I'm not going to bash everyone and say, oh, this ought to all end. It's just, how the KU thing's all put together. I don't track with, the KU basketball nation. So it's on the details of how this all goes down or what people think, I'm totally unaware. It's just not my game.
It's Nate's game.
Nate.
Yeah, Nate's got burner accounts. And
exactly.
You're better off, Dan.
We found out
not being a part of that.
He has an account called Foggy Thoughts.
I turn on to Sports Radio 810, and you guys do a great job of summarizing what is going on social media. So I feel like I'm keeping up to date because you guys keep us informed.
It's not pretty.
I bet we did.
Out there. Especially when Kansas fans are telling Nate that his fan card needs to be revoked.
Not Nate.
They attacked him. Oh, he was viciously attacked this week.
Mr. Jayhawk?
He had to play through it, though.
Blind squirrel over there.
Right. Jake tried to take his card physically.
He wouldn't let go of that thing, man.
We'll take a break.
I have vice grip on that.
Back after this on WHB.